إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله وأصلي وأسلم عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى تابعيهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Praise be to God, we praise him, we seek his guidance and forgiveness. Whomever God guide, none can misguide, and whomever God leads astray, none can guide besides Allah. We bear witness that there is no one worth worshipping but God, Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad is his last prophet and messenger. Prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, upon his companions, upon his followers and their followers till the day of judgment. Ameen. Servants of Allah, have the taqwa of Allah. That is, be where Allah wants you to be and avoid being where Allah does not want you to be. Have the taqwa of Allah, that is, have the balance between the love of Allah and the fear of his punishment. Have the taqwa of Allah and do not die except on the state of Islam, the state of submission to the will and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أما بعد يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة الحجرات قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. There's a verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat talks about a situation that happened with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That situation is when some of the people, the Bedouin who used to live in the desert, recently just embraced Islam. And they came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saying, we are believers, we did Iman, we just achieved Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, not yet. You did not reach that level yet. You can say you are Muslims, you can say aslamna, but do not say and do not claim you're believers yet. You did not reach that level yet. In another hadith, a lot of you heard about it, when Jibreel came in the form of a man and asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam several questions in the masjid in front of the companions. Three of those questions were, what is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him, Islam what? What is Islam? What is Iman? And what is Ihsan? From this hadith and from that verse, the scholars concluded that there are levels in the relationship between a worshipper and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The basic level, the minimum requirement to be considered a worshipper of Allah, a worshipper of God, is Islam. Which is the base of the pyramid if you want to look at us in that pyramid. The majority are, or the minimum requirement is in that base, which is Islam. Then comes the next level, which is Iman. And then comes the top of the pyramid, the best of the best, which is Ihsan, perfection in Ibadah. And Prophet Muhammad described when he said, you worship Allah so sincerely, so perfectly, as if you can see Him in front of your eyes. If you cannot imagine that, at least you are aware all the time that He's watching you. That is Ihsan, the top of the pyramid, the best of the best. But let us go back to level two, Iman. The scholars defined Iman as مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَصَدَّقَهُ الْعَمَلِ. What you believe with your heart and you prove with your actions. It's not enough to say, I believe in something. You have to prove that in the way you behave. It has to reflect in your lifestyle. And that's how in everything that we have in our religion, everything that we believe in, it should be proven with our actions. When you believe that Allah Sami'un Basir, Allah sees and hears everything, it should reflect in your action that whatever you do, you know that Allah is there watching you. When you believe that Allah Ghaffar, Rahim, Allah forgives and He likes to forgive, it will reflect in your life that you will never lose mercy in the hope of forgiveness. When you believe that Allah لا يحب كل مختال فخور, Allah does not like those who are arrogant and conceited, it should reflect in your actions, in your lifestyle, that you are always humble. And that's how everything else. And one of these names of Allah that we should believe in is Ar-Razzaq, the provider, the sustainer. He is the one who provides for us everything that we have. And the same way, when we believe in that, it should reflect in our actions. It should be proven with our lifestyle. Today, inshallah, and maybe the next time and the time after it, I'll be here in the next few months, I will try to talk about these reflections that when you believe in Ar-Razzaq, the provider, the sustainer, how should that be reflected in your life? How should that be proven with your actions? Why? Because we go through this concept all the time. We live in a very materialistic world. And Ar-Razzaq, the provider, he's the one who gave all these things. We live in the capital of capitalism of the world. That's why we need to understand what is Ar-Razzaq means. We went through very hard economical situations the last few years. That's why it's very important to understand what does Ar-Razzaq means. And today we'll talk about maybe two of these reflections, and next time, inshallah, we'll continue. When you believe that Allah is Ar-Razzaq, the provider, the sustainer, the one who gave you everything that you have, from the day you were born till the day you die, everything you have is from God, is from Allah. You have to believe in that. And when you believe in that, it should reflect in your life that you are always thankful to Allah. It's always grateful to the one who gave you everything. If I give you today, right now, $100 after the khutbah, I'll be your best friend for the rest of your life. Right? If I shake your hands and here's $100, you like me. Imagine the one who gave you your eyes, the one who gave you your salary, the one who gave you the food that you had in your mother's womb, the one who gave you milk from your mother's breast. What do you think about him? From the moment you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes and you see a ceiling on top of your head, you say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to God, I have a house to live in. I have an apartment to stay in. Because millions around the world are living in camps and tents. Not because they are camping, because their houses got destroyed in an earthquake or a tsunami. When you see your apartment, your house above, you see a mattress behind you, say, Alhamdulillah, because thousands of people sleep on the streets every night and we see them. Don't complain, your house is small, your apartment is old. Say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. Turn your face to the right or to the left, you see your spouse if you're married, your wife or your husband, sisters. Say, Alhamdulillah, I am married. Don't complain, my wife gave me a hard time. Don't complain, sisters, your husband is giving you a hard time. No, say Alhamdulillah, I am married. Thousands of people around us in our community are reaching an older age and they're not able to get married. How many brothers you know in the community for the last 7 or 8 or 10 years they're looking for a spouse and they're not being fortunate to have one? How many sisters they reach the age of 30, 40, 50 and there is nothing wrong in them, yet they did not have the chance to get married? So Alhamdulillah, especially sisters, don't complain about your husband. He's lazy, he doesn't do things at home. Say Alhamdulillah, you're married. You hear your kids yelling outside at 6 o'clock in the morning and you start complaining, oh, I have children. Say Alhamdulillah, you have children. You know how many people would pay thousands of dollars to go to the doctor to have one child? Do you know how many people lived and died without feeling the pleasure of a son or a daughter who comes and hugs them in the morning? Say Alhamdulillah. Don't complain your kid broke one of your china set plates. Don't complain your son scratched your car. Say Alhamdulillah, I have a son, I'm happy. You drive your car? Say Alhamdulillah, I have a car. Many people don't have the luxury of having a car. You go to your job, don't complain and say, I hate my job, I hate my boss. Say Alhamdulillah, you have a job. Especially nowadays, unemployment is going up. People around the world would wish to be in your place and they're paid half of what you're getting paid. Say Alhamdulillah, you have a job. I get to call some of my friends who are, mashallah, doctors, engineers, professors, and they have good jobs and good salaries. I call them sometimes in the evening and I ask them, how was your day? And they start complaining. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate my customers. I hate the stress that I... Ya akhi, say Alhamdulillah. Thousands of people would wish to be in your place. Do not complain and always say Alhamdulillah. The more you thank Allah, the more Allah will give you. La in shakartum, la azidannakum. The more you thank Allah, the more Allah will be pleased with you. Wa in tashkuru, yardahu lakum. The more you thank Allah, the more you will be saved in the hereafter. Ma yaf'alu Allahu bi'adhabikum in shakartum. The more you thank Allah, the more the chances you'll get the honor in the day of judgment. An angel will stand up in the day of judgment and he will say, أَيْنَ الْحَمَّادُونَ? Where are those who used to be very thankful in their lives? They will stand up. A banner will be raised up and all will walk behind this banner all the way to Jannah. Nothing will stop them. يُنْصَبُ لَهُمْ لِوَاءٌ يَمْشُونَ وَرَاهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ لَا يُلْقِفُهُمْ أَحَدٌ. Hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more you thank Allah, the more you have a good life. Someone might say, Ya akhi, why are you telling me this? I am thankful, I am grateful. Why are you telling me this? Why are you telling? Because if we are not thankful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us that He might take it away from us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will enjoin some of His servants with His blessings and His bounties. Those who are ungrateful, Allah will take it away from them. He will flip it. In a verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this village that they used to live very happily, very peacefully. They had security and they had wealth. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. They were ungrateful, so Allah made them taste the flavor of poverty and insecurity. We need to be grateful before it's too late. Someone might say, I am grateful. Well, ask yourself, are you fully grateful and thankful to God? Or you're partially grateful? If you complain about the things you have, then you're not 100% grateful. Ask yourself, how much do you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's do an experiment Monday morning. Each one of us will take a piece of paper in the morning and write on one page Allah and write on the other page people. And every time you say Alhamdulillah, praise be to God, write one, make a mark. And on the other side, every time you thank someone in your life, the gas station attendant, the waitress at the restaurant, someone on the phone, thank you sir, thank you ma'am, at work, at school, write down, mark. At the end of the day, count the marks. You'll find that we thank people so much more than we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah deserves more. Well, I have good news for you. As a Muslim, you're supposed to at least pray 17 rak'ahs every day, right? What is the first word you say when you pray? Alhamdulillah. But we are saying it so quickly that we don't even mean it. Mean it! And it will count as a thing. When you say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Allah listens to those who are grateful. Rabbana walaka alhamd, O Allah, we are grateful. You say it every day, but because we say it very quickly and it became a habit, we don't mean it. Mean it, and it will count as if you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being partially ungrateful, if you think that everything that you have is because of your own intelligence and your own smartness. You know some people, they are good professionals, good businessmen, very shrewd salesmen. They can pull out the nickel and the dime from the customer's pockets. And when you tell them, oh, you are very successful financially, what do they say? Yes, I'm a smart doctor. I'm a smart engineer. I'm a shrewd businessman. I know how to do business. And it's all from Allah. Let me ask you a question. How many doctors, engineers, professionals, businessmen, smarter than all of us, live around the world and they live in poverty? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, who gave you that mind. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who put you through that school. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who put you in this town, in this country, in this place, in this circumstances, so you can make all this money. So don't ever be ungrateful and say, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I gained that from my own knowledge. Just like Qarun said. Qarun, one of the people who used to fight Moses alayhi salam. He was on the side of Fir'aun and Haman. And when the people told him, be grateful, you are very wealthy, be grateful to God. What did he say? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I earned this from my own knowledge, from my own intelligence. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. All his wealth was wiped out because he was ungrateful. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply by saying, Alhamdulillah. Make it a habit. Teach your children. When you buy them a toy, don't you teach them to say, thank you daddy, thank you mom? Teach them to say Alhamdulillah when they buy a toy. When they get a good grade from school, let them know that it's good to say Alhamdulillah. Make it a habit every time something good happens to you. Alhamdulillah. You want to thank Allah more? Learn this dua that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us every morning. He said, if you say in the morning, O Allah, any blessings that happened to me this day, or to anyone else on this earth, is from you, so praise be to you. If you say that in the morning, as if you thanked Allah for the rest of the day. You want to thank Allah more? There is something called sajdatayn shukr. You just sit down on the floor, do two sajdas, and say Alhamdulillah. That's for something bigger. You've been applying for jobs for a few months, and finally you got a job. at that moment, take a corner and put your head on the floor and say, Alhamdulillah, sajdata. We see sometimes when we watch some soccer players, Muslim soccer players, when they score a goal, they right away do to sajdat shukr. That's what sajdat shukr is. You've been waiting for a good news. You got the good news. Sajdatayn shukr. Two sajdas of shukr. You did a very good sale at your job today. You got a good bonus. You got a good paycheck. You got a good deal, good commission. At the end of the day, do two sajdas of shukr. Say, Alhamdulillah. You got married. After everyone goes home and you are going to your hotel room, you and your wife, before you go to sleep, just two sajdatayn shukr. Are you crazy? I'm wearing my toque. Wearing my tuxedo, wearing my wedding dress, you want me to pray right now? Yes! That will make you different than others. And that's what will give you blessings in your life. You want to thank Allah more? Wake up at night and pray for some time. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to thank Allah. Prophet Muhammad used to pray a lot at night. His wife Aisha will tell him, why are you taking it so hard on yourself? Didn't Allah forgive you everything? Didn't Allah bless you with forgiveness for anything you did and anything you might do? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be a thankful servant? If He blessed me with such a huge blessing, shouldn't I be more thankful than others? Yes. You've been waiting for a child. You've been having a hard time getting pregnant. 10, 15 years, and suddenly you get the news, you're pregnant, sisters. Or your wife tells your brother, I'm pregnant. At that night, both of you wake up and pray for 10, 20, 30 minutes. If you're an immigrant, you've been waiting for your papers to be done, citizenship, green, whatever it is, and you got it. That day, wake up at night and pray. Whatever good news you want, if you want to thank Allah more, this is a good way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to thank Allah in a different way? Give from the things that He gave you. Find a poor person on the street, a homeless person. Give a good tip at the restaurant. That's how you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that takes us to the following or the next second reflection. For those who came late, we are talking about Allah Ar-Razzaq, the provider. And when you believe that Allah is Ar-Razzaq, it should be reflected in your life. And we say the first reflection, when you believe in the provider, in Ar-Razzaq, then you have to be thankful all the time to Him. The second thing, when you believe that He's the one who gave you everything that you have, then you will give in good causes as He ordered you and as He told you. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Spend for the good causes, for the sake of Allah. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. Or spend from the things that He entrusted you with. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Spend from the things that we provided you with. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. You know, when you are having all this money in the bank and then you are very stingy to find a poor person to help him out or to give a hospital or an orphanage, or you give a very small amount, or you don't give at all, and you say, this is my money, I worked hard for it, I don't want to give it out. You're doing exactly like your little son. Try to imagine your son or your daughter. You give them allowance every day. Every morning you give them allowance when they go to school. One day you pick them up from school, but you forgot your wallet at home. And in the car, you're thirsty, you want to buy a bottle of water. The only one in the car who has money is your son. Son, give me a dollar, let me buy some water. Imagine if your son tells you, no. This is my money. I worked hard for it. You're the one who gave it to him that morning. How sad would that be? That's exactly what we're doing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, give, be generous, help others. And you say, no, this is my money. That's exactly what we're doing. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. You will never be short when you give out in charity. You will never lose money when you give out in charity. Actually, it will be safe for you. You know, when he walked into his house once, and they told him, his wife told him, he asked, what happened to the meat? We had meat this morning. What happened to it? She told him, we donated 2/3 of it, and only 1/3 is kept for us here at home to eat. He said, no, Aisha. 1/3 will be gone, the one we're going to eat. And the 2/3 will be kept for us with Allah. In another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you give a charity, even as small as a piece of date, from halal income, Allah will grab it with His right hand. And He will raise it up for you and take care of it just like a small pet, a small animal, until it becomes a huge mountain of good deeds that you'll find it in the day of judgment. It's worth it. Of course it's worth it. The more you give, the more Allah will give you back. How many times it happened to you? You were at the masjid, you give someone some money, you went home and you find a big check waiting for you. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. The more you give, the more He gives you back. And He said it's a loan. It's a loan.
من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له اضعافا كثيره. Who is willing to give Allah a loan and Allah will give it back to him multiplied? How much? Minimum 700%.
مثل الذين ينفقون اموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبه انبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبله 100 حبه.
Anyone who gives something for charity, Allah will give it back to him 700 times minimum.
I challenge you to find me a bank, a stock market, a real estate business, any investment who's willing to give you 700% profit immediately. And Allah is the truth, He does not lie. And Allah is the wealthiest, He does not file for bankruptcy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the generous, He's willing to give more. So do not think that you're losing. One of the companions heard this and he went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said, "O Prophet of Allah, Allah gave us everything that we have." And then when he asked us to help the others, he said, "It's a loan?" The Prophet said, "Yes." And he said, "He's going to give it back to us 700 times? He said, "Yes." He said, "O Prophet of Allah, shake my hand." That was a contract in those days. "I have a garden in Medina. It's for the poor and the needy. I give it as a loan." Prophet Muhammad told him, "And you will have 700 gardens in Jannah waiting for you." He started jumping up and down. "Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!" He rushed to the garden because his wife and his family were there. He from far away, "Get out! Leave! I gave it as a loan! I gave it to the poor and the needy!" Imagine what his wife did. Imagine you're going home right now and you say, "Wife, I donated my car." Or I donated as simple as cell phone. I don't think you'll sleep at home that night. But anyway, she was so sincere and generous just like him. She looked at her children and she said, "Kachin, kachin, get those things out, get the fruits out of your mouth. Let's get out. It's not for us anymore." This is the true support that the spouse should give to their spouse. It's so sad nowadays that you find a brother who will think million times before he tells his wife he's going to donate something. Who replies 3 or 4 weeks in advance before he goes to a fundraiser. Or the same thing for a sister who decides that she wants to help her parents and she's afraid to tell her husband. That's not right. That's nahi an al-ma'ruf. That's forbidding goodness. You know, as Muslims, we are required and commanded to command goodness. Al-amr bil-ma'ruf. When we don't do it, that's bad by itself. Imagine doing the opposite. Al-nahi an al-ma'ruf. Sisters, when every Friday, ask your husband, "Did you donate for the masjid? Did you find someone to help out? On Eid, did you give money to your parents? If not, you're sleeping on the couch tonight. Why didn't you help people out?" We need that support from the spouses. That is one of the things that we want to have all the time. If you ever prohibited someone from doing something good, this is something you need to ask Allah for forgiveness. This is a good time to ask for forgiveness. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أفضل المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى تابعيهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the all merciful, the ever merciful, we praise Him, we seek His guidance and forgiveness, and we continue with our topic for the last few minutes of this khutbah, reflections on believing that Allah is the provider. And as I promise, inshallah, in the future, whenever I'm back here, we'll continue with these, with more of these reflections. As we said, the first reflection of believing that Allah is the provider, that you're always thankful and grateful to Him. And the second, that you will always give for good causes because He's the one who gave you and He's the one who asked you to be doing that. I'll finish the talk with a few points about giving. Something I like to call it the art of giving. Giving with style. Charity with style. You know, all of us like to dress with style, do our hair in style, we make our homes in style, but when it comes to these things, we don't think how to do it in style. Aisha used to donate with style, radiallahu anha. She used to grab the coins and put them and dip them in cologne before she gives it to the poor person. They will ask her, "Why are you doing that?" She would say, "Because I know it gets into the hands of God before it gets to the hands of the poor person." Before you give your old shirt to someone, before you give your old car to someone, make sure it looks nice. Make sure you clean it. Have you ever thought of dry cleaning your clothes or washing them and hanging them and ironing before you give it to someone who needs it? Someone said, "Who needs my clothes?" A lot of people would use your clothes. Even in the Muslim community,
I was praying in a masjid here in Southern California once, a Maghrib prayer. And a big fancy car passed by the masjid before Salah and dropped a huge bag, black trash bag full of clothes. Many of us did that before. And I said, who would need it? After the Salah, when the non-regular people of the masjid left, the regular people of the masjid sneaked and went to that bag and they start pulling out clothes and say, this is for me, this is for my daughter, this is for my son, this is for my wife. I felt so sad and I was thinking, how would that brother feel if those clothes were clean and smelled good rather than being stinky and wrinkled? When you donate, give with style, give with good attitude. Do not make people feel that you're doing them a favor. Hide it as much as you can. Hide it even from the people that you're trying to give. One of the righteous people in the old days, he used to knock the doors of the poor houses. He would drop food, clothes, money, and leave before they opened the door. People did not know who's helping them out until he died and the donation stopped coming. If you have a business and a poor brother comes to your business and he asks you to help him out, you can give it to him for free and he'll know that you helped him out. But if you give it for a little amount of money, even below your cost, he would think that he paid for it. But between you and Allah, you donated that loss of the cost. Be smart, be intelligent, be creative how to be helping others. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to give for his sake. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are grateful to him all the time. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who believe and prove that belief with our actions. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka ya rabbana sami'un qareebun mujibud da'awat ibadallah inna Allah qad amarakum bi amrin bada'a bihi bi nafsihi wa thanna bi malaikati qudusihi haythu qala inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita wa sallamta wa barakta 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim fil 'alamin إنك حميد مجيد وأقم الصلاة.